Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to the Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Joining me via Facebook Live, Minister of State, Ministry of Home Affairs and National Development, Associate Professor Dr. Mohammed Faisal Ibrahim. We talk about his personal interactions with offenders and their families over several weeks and look at why community support is vital in aiding the rehabilitation process and looking after the holistic needs of offenders' families. MOS Faisal, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Clarissa. Thanks for having me.
Now, first off, I hope it's not too late to wish you a Salamat Hari Raya Eid al-Fitri.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Now, let's jump right in. How did you spend your Ramadan this year?
Yes, this year, Ramadan has been very meaningful for me. Well, so usually what I'll do, I spend most of my Ramadan with my family. Mm-hmm. For this year, I spend a large part of this Ramadan with the community, engaging inmates, halfway house residents, offenders, families, and the community, as well as our frontline home team officers. So in April and May, before the tightening of the COVID-19 measures under phase two, before the heightened alert started,
right,
I actually spent many days and nights in the prison, at the halfway house. I had the pre-dawn meal. We had a sahur, mm-hmm, where I had sahur with the Pertapis residents and also with some of the SCDF officers and NS men. And I had quite a number of iftar, the breaking fast with the inmates, mm-hmm, together with the home team officers, the prison officers. And at the same time, I visited the offenders' families to provide families with hampers for Hari Raya. And, many of these issues arise because of drugs and also offending. So I reached out to the community at large on the Dadai to Haram campaign, whereby we went down to the ground to work with the community at the grassroots level, mm-hmm, also with the mosque, as well as residents who can share the message that drugs are harmful with Muslim organizations as well and community organizations. So at the end of the day, it was a month filled with lots of engagement, meaningful conversations, insights, reflection, and at the same time, support for the inmates and their families, as well as the community, and bringing the community forward to help out in this, to enhance the awareness, and at the same time, provide that very important support, especially in Ramadan.
Right. Now, let's be honest, this segment of our community, of our society, tends to be forgotten. Out of sight, out of mind, they're behind bars. Most of us don't think of their well-being, the difficulties of their families. Could you expand why you chose to spend your Ramadan supporting offenders and ex-offenders and their families?
To me, Ramadan is a time for self-reflection, repentance, and a new beginning. And in fact, fasting teaches us about discipline and trains us on managing our desires. So offenders and ex-offenders can relate very well to this as they seek to repent and also restart their lives. My message to them is to never give up. Mm-hmm. We are here with them in their rehabilitation journey to rejoin the society. And they need their families and the community to support and motivate them as they persevere to change for the better. So families of offenders too may need reminders to forgive and to not give up on their loved ones who are serving time in prison. It is very touching. I met one inmate who shared with me that his fiancé has been waiting for him out there for the past 20 years.
Oh, that's sweet.
When he said that, he cried. And he knew the difficulties the fiancé was going through. But he just couldn't imagine the love and care the fiancé has for him. So to me, it's really meaningful. I learned a lot. Not only I want to help them, in doing so, I learned a lot. And that gave me the motivation to do more to help this group of friends that we have. And spending the Ramadan without their loved ones who is incarcerated especially for the family members, can be a very difficult time for them. That's why I thought of visiting these families during the Ramadan period to give them our support and to bring them some cheer and hope for a better tomorrow. And my heart goes out especially to the children of offenders who may be going through another Ramadan or milestone without their parents. My hope is for them to be strong and to focus on their family and studies despite the challenges that they face. So at the end of the day, I think from the visits that I have and engagement, that presence of care, of wanting to help among all of us was very strong. Because we know it's a tough journey. Nevertheless, I'm heartened that not only the government having programs, but also the community. And today, I'm happy to share more and more people are coming forward to help.
You know, I celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary this year. And what you said about that fiancé waiting for her man and being committed to him for 20 years while he was in incarceration, it almost made me cry. That's unimaginable love and commitment. And I hope that they're reunited soon.
Yes, and certainly, in fact, when the man shared with us, some of his colleagues were crying as well because they also remember the love that they received from their family members who never give up on them. While some felt how they may have disappointed their family members. And many of this conversation we had was about how they can take care of their parents when they are released, how they can be reunited with their family members, their children, and how they said that they will try their best to be a good father, to be a good child. And for some, I met how they want to continue to be a good mother. I think it's been very meaningful for me. And I'm very happy that when I work with the community partners, I saw the commitment and passion in serving this group of people. And they themselves believe in it. And my hope is that we can continue to strengthen our journey and our work on this. And I hope more and more people come forward to be part of this journey.
That's some profound messaging. Yes. I want to ask, what did you learn from your interactions with them?
I think it's a great journey for me where it's not only meaningful, but I'm able to join all the different experiences I had in the past. You know, I've been very fortunate to serve in other ministries, taking on the role of now Minister of State for Home Affairs and also National Development. And I was also involved in MOE, MSF doing my previous posting. Mm-hmm. And then I was also involved in MOH. So I met many people, families in difficult circumstances. They may be facing financial difficulties, marital problems, family violence, school absenteeism, and many other troubling issues. So for the last few months that I've been taking on this MHL portfolio, I've come to appreciate that family relationships are key in so many ways. So family is key. Many of them shared with me that they were affected because of family. And after they have gone in, they realized how important family is to them. So a supportive family can play a critical role in preventing offending and reoffending and in an ex-offender's rehabilitation and reintegration journey. So what I'm doing now is I'm trying to promote strong families, get people to talk to one another, get children and parents to interact, get parents to look out what their children are doing and also who their children are mixing with. And at the same time, bring a lot of or show a lot of love and care and communicate more with your children. Families of offenders also face difficult time coping with their loved ones mm-hmm. being incarcerated, and more so for children.
We're speaking with Minister of State, Ministry of Home Affairs and National Development, Associate Professor Dr. Mohammed Faisal Ibrahim. We talked about the family nucleus. Let's talk about the larger community. What do you hope that the community, because they say it takes a village and all of us are part of this village. What do you hope that the community can or will do to support ex-offenders and their families in rehabilitation and eventually in their integration back into society?
I think community acceptance is important for offenders' reintegration into society. Quite a number of times when I meet them, they share with me that they hope when they go back, the community will accept them, either in the form of jobs or in the form of how they can reintegrate to the community. And this is something very important. As such, we are working what Yellow Ribbon Project is about. We work with the communities, we work with organizations such as East Coast, SACA, FITRA, AMP, so that they can support the ex-offenders when they are released. And my message to them has always been, before you go out, you have a program, you have a plan, what you're going to do in your life daily, and then so that you know that you can continue what the rehab journey you have back there when you're in prison or in the halfway house. Mm-hmm. But sometimes without such a program or discipline, they may get lost and they may go back to their old habits. Nevertheless, organizations like East Coast, SACA, and FITRA, and AMP, and many others, even New Life Stories, what they do is they start to get contact with their families and the ex-offenders and continue the journey. It will be a long journey. Not easy. Yeah, I must say that it's not easy. And I hope more of the community partners will join us in providing a supportive environment for ex-offenders who are reintegrating into society.
Okay. Now, in the greater scheme of things, perhaps one of the most challenging aspects of an ex-offender's rehabilitation is integration back into society. You've spoken about what you hope for community support to be. Could you speak on what the Ministry of Home Affairs has in place to support them?
This is a very good question, because MHA, Singapore Prison Services, CNB and YRSG, the Yellow Ribbon SG, we work closely with various community organizations and partners to provide support to offenders and ex-offenders in their rehab journey, as well as their reintegration process. The support is extended to their families as well, and it starts while the offenders are incarcerated and continues after they are released. So it's a true care. That means from the start all the way to the end, and then even when you are outside. So, for example, the prisons work with several community partners to deliver rehab programs to offenders while they are in prison. And these community partners will continue to provide that support for when the offenders are released as well. So that they have a single touch point or group of people taking care of them and with multiple engagement. For example, the care network, we work with SANA, whereby this make up of SANA, SACA, which is, and also East Coast. They provide the platforms for training, for reaching out to the ex-offenders and their families. So that platform is where we really roll out support system for the ex-offenders and their families. For the Malay community, we have the MCUBE agencies, such as Mendaki, Mesra, MUIS, AMP and FITRA, Jamia, Tetapis, Awang Grani, Education Fund, where we work with the vulnerable families together with this organization. So at the end of the day, I'm very heartened. While MHA, SPS, CNB, we not only have programs and initiatives, but we know that it takes the whole community to play a part in this process, because the life after prison is in the community.
Yes.
So it is important for them to be attached and relate to the community and to be able to get supported by the community and befriended by people who has a link or have links with the agencies. So in this way, we have a very tight and very close-knitted kind of relationship so that we can help one another. We still need more people because at the end of the day, they need all the support they can get. So we want to give more than beyond second chances to them. Because especially for drug addiction, it's not easy because the single thought can trigger you back to drug addiction. So we want to have more people to cover their blind spots so that whenever someone thinks of going back into the addiction, there is always someone that they can fall onto, get the support and help them in the recovery journey.
Befrienders?
Yes, befrienders, whereby these people will be trained and we will ensure that they are able to do the work well. And in fact, in the next years ahead, as part of the CARE Network, we want to train and equip our befrienders better so that they are able to befriend and help to support the offenders and their families better. So these are things that we really, really hope to do and get the support from the community.
All right. We are almost out of time, but this is a question that I was actually, interestingly enough, a lot of people, when they heard I was going to be doing this interview with you, a lot of people expressed their interest in hearing your answer to this question. We talk about second chances. There was a time when we really in Singapore were a one strike, you're out society. If you were an ex-offender, getting a meaningful job, for example, was very difficult. How does a whole of society, government, community, family support come together to give an ex-offender their best opportunity at that second chance?
One is, most importantly, my message is that we are all not perfect. We have our weaknesses. Sometimes we make mistakes, and happen that our friends who are in prison or inmates or ex-offenders may have made a mistake that result them in getting to prison. And what is key is that we want to give them the best rehab process as much as possible and for them to be reintegrated in the into the society. So while the government agencies will do our best to do that, but I think what is key also is we need to get the support from everyone. Yeah. Family members, the community. Community comprises not only befrienders, community leaders, but also employers.
Absolutely.
To give that beyond second chances to our friends there. And I'm happy to share that we are creating not only more jobs, we are creating different types of jobs for our ex-offenders because we want them to do well in life. Just like any of us, we want to have a good life. So they, like us, want to have a good life. So give them this beyond second chances. And my message to these offenders and inmates and ex-offenders, when I meet them, you must win the trust of the community. While you want them to trust you, to give you the opportunity, you must build and win the trust. When you do that, we will have a better landscape together and we will continue to work hard on this. My commitment, as well as the government's commitment also, is that we will continue to help our ex-offenders and their families. And at the same time, we will also want to move upstream so that there will be less offending behavior, less young people taking drugs, so that they don't have to go into prison and they can have better lives with their families and friends.
That's on a very positive note for us to end this interview. I just want to add to any potential employers who are listening to us right now, every one of us in Singapore deserves a second or maybe even third chance. We've been speaking with Minister of State, Ministry of Home Affairs and National Development, Associate Professor Dr. Mohammad Faisal Ibrahim. MOS, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for giving us the time today.
Thank you, Clarissa, and thanks to all the listeners.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.